Okay. Good morning again. I was trying to eat a little in the morning, and I realized I was late, so I had to speed a little. And this road has quite a few curves, but I did make it in time. You may want to pay attention today and tomorrow because we are going to touch on a few crucial things, not only in prayer, but in our life, spiritual life, our peace, our strength, our victory. We are going to touch on some vital issues. So you may want to really pay attention, and I would not mind. And I know I say that and people think they hear me, but they never do. You can stop me and ask questions. I say that, but they never stop me. I don't know for what reason. I will be comfortable if you stop me, raise your hand, and ask a question. If I don't like the question, I'm not going to answer it. So you don't have to worry about that. If you have a, because this is going to be so crucial that I want to emphasize, if you have a question, you heard me? Okay. I'm almost positive nobody will do it, but that's okay. Every place I speak, they never stop me. I don't know why. They let me finish. No questions. Well, yeah, but sometimes people have a different issue that they struggle with, a different need. And I would rather address your needs than my seminar. First, secondly, there is no wrong question. If you ask a question that I don't know the answer, I just say I don't know the answer. Very simple. And more than that, we don't have to cover so much today. We can continue tomorrow. It's okay. As long as we go to what is important, that would make a difference, and we don't listen just another sermon, but it has an impact in our life. You follow me? Okay. And so feel free to interrupt. I have a saying. In Romania, this is how they say, when people don't ask questions, they either know everything or they know nothing. Okay? Man, those lights are strong. Okay. And so, let's continue. Yesterday, we talked about entering his gates with praises. You remember? Yes. We emphasized why. And I strongly encourage you to actually do it. It will change your life. It will change. It's going to be uncomfortable in the beginning because we are not used to. But if you discipline yourself, you'll harvest rewards. And so today I want to touch a little more on that, just a little, and move on. Remember how the prayer starts. Our Father in heaven, and by the way, it doesn't say my Father, or it doesn't say Father. He is not God, Father. He is our Father. He could be the God of the universe, but he chose to be your God. Yes. That's a good point. I will. Thank you. I forgot about it. Yes. Thank you. And so, I'll mention it right now. Our Father, and it doesn't say my Father, it says our. It is a Greek, a reversible, where in Greek, I don't know how to explain it, but in Greek, it is more clear than in English. In Greek, everything in the grammar makes it clear. There is no confusion. It's not only the times, the tenses, the cases, the modes that we have in English grammar. But in Greek, there is no confusion. For every single different thing, it has something in grammar that would show what it is. For instance, if you ask somebody, or if you strongly tell them to do it, if it's something that may happen, or if it's something that will happen, it's a different grammar that would make it clear there is no confusion. And there in Greek, it underlines that God wants to be everybody, not only yours. He cares for everybody. Now, it doesn't say father. In Greek, it says a diminutive for father that shows very, 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 very close relationship and friendship between him and the one that prays. Basically, it's like the word that you say daddy, papi. It's not father. It's more than father. It's like daddy shows close relationship, connection, that they are together, they know each other. Okay, and then, as it says, hallowed be thy name, there is something that I wanted to mention today, and then I move on. Hallowed be thy name, the word hallow usually is, in English, it's agios in Greek, in English is to sanctify. But this is pretty strange, because you cannot sanctify God's name, he is already holy. He doesn't need you to make him holy. You follow me? So I looked carefully because everything has to make some sense. And the word in Greek there is not agios as it is in the rest of the Bible, but it's a strange word. It's hagiazo. So I checked, and I asked some scholars, and I called them, and they had no clue. They said it may be a mistake. Then I called in Andrews and I talked to Dr. Richard Davidson. I said, well, it's an old word. It's not used anymore. It means, let me sanctify your name through my life. Hello? You are an open letter. People don't see God, but they see you. And the way we behave honors or dishonors God. So after you praise the Lord, when you come in his presence, you say, Lord, I'm going to be among people today. Let me represent you properly. Let people see you in me. Do you follow me? Hallowed be thy name. Well, I have a quick story here. I moved in Wisconsin. I should not have told you even the place. I moved somewhere. Erase Wisconsin, okay? Okay. I moved somewhere. And I purchased a motorcycle. I like motorcycles a little too much. When you are on that bike, you feel the air, you feel the freedom, and man, it's like you are already in heaven, you know, something like that. And so I got on my bike. It was a Honda Nighthawk 750cc, absolutely perfect. And I wanted to test the bike. And as I was new, I wanted to go and visit people. And there was a family, and she was absolutely the most holy person ever. Even her voice was holy. Oh, how are you doing, Pastor? We love you so much. I said in my mind, man, I just moved this week in this district. They don't even know me. How could they love me? They either are really godly people or they just exaggerate, you know? I would not say something, hey, I love you, unless I do. I would rather say, I respect you, I appreciate you, I'm ready to serve you, but I'm not going to say, hey, I love you, unless I really do, you know? I'm not in a hurry to throw words, I prefer to leave it alone until I mean it. And she said, bah! When she talked normally, but when she prayed, when she talked to you, she had a higher pitch voice, and when she prayed, she had a really high pitch, Lord, kind of, we love you so much. Man, really, she loves the Lord. Very holy. So I called, I said, I'm going to visit you guys. I drove my bike. Oh, Pastor! And she hugged me. And we talked and we prayed and I left. After I left, that bike I purchased the day before. I didn't know the bike. I forgot that under the tank, the bike has a little valve that you can turn the gas on or off. And I forgot to turn the gas on. So I started, and it went just one block. And it finished the gas from the carburetor, and it stopped. And I didn't realize I need to turn the gas on. So I, nothing. The bike would not start. Duh. Sure, it doesn't start without gas, you know? And I pushed, like somebody foolish, without thinking, I pushed until I drained the battery. And I said, I'm going to go back and ask them for help. Well, I went back walking. They didn't know that I'm going back. They didn't hear the bike. And it was hell. She was screaming and calling him names. You are stupid! And she used some other names that are very bad. I will not even say the first letter. I mean that. I am ashamed to think about those two words. I am ashamed to even think how she called him. And her husband, stop talking to me that day. You are stupid. You bent the garage door with the mower. And she said, you broke the dishes. And they started to fight each other. And he pushed her into the door. I was at the door to knock, to ask for help. I didn't knock, and I left slowly, hoping that they didn't see me because I was ashamed of their shame. And as he pushed her in the door slammed open, and they were fighting, pushing, and they see me, and they stop, and he says, Pastor, you came back! How do we represent God? Are we two-faced Christians? Somebody in the church and somebody else at home? Hello? You heard me. I know you did. Stop praying routine prayers. Go to God and say, Lord, this is who I am. Because change starts with confession. There is no change without confession. There is no forgiveness. I'm going to prove it to you with the Bible clearly. Spirit of prophecy, Bible, both. There is no forgiveness and there is no transformation. It starts with the fact that you own who you are. You confess. When you confess, you are forgiven. And then you say, Lord, please, I am unable. Come into my life. Help me. You need to say, Lord, help me represent, reflect your character before my family first. Because that's where it starts. Reflect my character before my coworkers and in the church. When we have fights and conflicts in the church, that's not God's character. That's Satan's character, folks. I don't care if you like it or not. You don't like it, don't call me back. I tell it as it is. When we fight, it doesn't matter if you are right or wrong. It is Satan's character. Jesus didn't come to divide. He came to bring peace. He says in John 17, when they are one, the world will know that they are my people. If you don't like your pastor, go home and ask God forgiveness. It doesn't matter what he does. He may be a stinker. It doesn't matter what he does. You heard me. You have no right to go and criticize him around. You have the right to pray for him, to love him, and to labor before the Lord, and then go and talk to him in a humble way. If you would like to be done, if you are the pastor. You follow me? You go and talk with him. And if he doesn't listen, you can go and talk with the conference, but you don't go around and talk to people. You follow me? And you pray because God loves that man more than you do, and you have no right to judge somebody before you die for that person. You need to love them enough to die for them to have the right to correct them. God is the judge, not you and not me. Not even your mind, you should allow yourself to think bad about somebody. Because the way you think influences the way you behave. You pray for them because God loves them. You pray for the church because God cares for his church. And we forget that God is in control and he is just. We somehow forget that he is more just than you are. And you say, Lord, I give this problem to you. Please give me wisdom and love and solve it for the sake of your name, not for me. And you are willing to sacrifice self for the sake of unity in the church. Because you love the church more than you love you. You follow me? I hope you do. And you sacrifice self, though you may be right, or you may think you are right. Nobody is right. Our righteousness is dirty. You sacrifice yourself for the sake of the church, as Jesus did. When you do that, God will do justice. I can give you story after story after, always, 100%, not 99%, 100%. He may not do it right away, but he will do it. And by the way, if it happened, if God didn't want it, it would not have happened. If it happened, it means God allowed it. Uh-huh. So you may need to learn how to deal with this situation because you are going to do it in the future. And you need to learn how to deal with it at some point to grow your character to the point that you know how not to react to these situations. Do you follow me? Now, going back, you need to desire to sanctify God by your behavior. So it's not only the doctrines that you know, but it's the behavior that shows Christ. That's Christianity. Pharisees knew the doctrines better than me and you. But they didn't behave that way. That's the reason Jesus told them that you need to have also the heart of the law, not only the letter of the law. And then when you pray, I'll get to you in a second. When you pray that you sanctify God through the behavior, guess what? You are going to have a miserable day. Because God is going to answer your prayer. And God is not going to teach you how to sanctify him by sending you a bouquet of flowers. He's going to send a lot of trials to teach you to behave like Jesus. And that's the way you learn. So when you pray, Lord, help me grow, you are going to face crisis. Don't try to solve it. Say, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. Now you gave me the opportunity to learn patience. Teach me patience. You follow me? Okay, so you had a question. Okay. It is when Jesus comes. Okay,
yes,
go on. Okay. I'm so sorry for your disease. We all have something, trust me. And I have to say, we have a tendency to bite those that we love. We don't bite a stranger, we bite those that we love the most. Go and bite a stranger, who cares? But don't bite your spouse, I'm just saying. I know you love him, you are together here. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about you now, I'm generally talking. I have the same problem. My wife does the same, everybody. We have a tendency to control ourselves with strangers, but to just let it out when it's about the one we love. And then when that happens, you need to say, honey, I'm not in a good mood. Please help me, understand me and help me. Because as you say it, it helps you process it. And it helps him realize. Go back. Going back now. When you enter his gates with praises, don't be generic. In the Greek grammar, in the Hebrew, that Bible verse, where he says, enter his gates with praises, it doesn't say praises. The word refers to specific thanks. When it says, for instance, in a different verse, bless the Lord, 103, bless the Lord of my soul and do not forget any of his benefits. When he says, don't forget any, it says, refer to each one. Basically, Ellen White writes in a letter to a friend that wrote her first a letter. And she said, I have no faith. I struggle. She wrote back, I believe I told you, God gave everyone a measure of faith. And you don't need a lot of faith. You need faith like a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. And faith, as soon as you exercise it, she says, it grows from the mustard seed into a tree. The more you use it, the more it grows like a muscle. And then she says, write whatever answers to prayer, regardless if small or big, in a journal. And either you write them in a book or you write them on a piece of paper and put them on the wall in the room. Do not let them go because you'll forget them. And she says, write them down. And then when you struggle with faith or you go through crisis, read them one by one, and she says, thank the Lord, not generic, thank you for your love, but specifically, thank you for this situation when I lost my passport and you Help me to find it. Thank you for this situation where my son had an accident and I prayed. Thank you for, be specific, not generic. And she says, as you praise the Lord specifically for one by one, as the disciples in the upper room did, Peter was in prison. You remember? And they were praying. If you read the prayer in the book of Acts, they didn't say, thank you, Lord, for everything. They said, you have been with us, and you got us from out of Egypt, and you did that, and you did. They are specific. And she says, Ellen White, as you thank the Lord specifically for miracle after miracle, that's going to help you remember what God has done in your life in the past. And that's going to grow your faith, that you have faith. And she says, you don't have faith because you forgot what God has done for you. Do you understand? As you remind the Lord specifically those miracles, she says it would build faith, it would nurture, feed, reinforce faith in you. Okay, so now I did answer your question too. Now we move on. After hallowed be thy name, it says, thy kingdom come. I looked into the Greek grammar 3 times because I thought it refers to the second coming. No, it doesn't. We should desire the second coming. The Bible says that he comes for those that loved his appearing. But that prayer doesn't refer to the second coming because it's a present continuum tense. So basically it says in Greek, not in the future, oh Lord, I want you to come again, take us home. It says, come today into my heart, come today into my family, come today into my church. It refers to his kingdom today, as Jesus told Zacchaeus, today my kingdom entered your house. And let me give you some bad news. If God doesn't enter your house today and tomorrow and every day, he's not going to enter his house when he comes. You will not experience heaven then. You need to start experiencing heaven now. You follow me? 1977, April 4th, there was an earthquake in Romania, extremely strong, 7.456 on Richter scale, for 1 minute and 15 seconds. It went this way, and then this way again. Many tall buildings collapsed. They say over 40,000 people were killed. That's what they said in the news. I saw buildings that half of the building fell and half was standing. And you could see half of the room, furniture, and the other half of the building was garbage. And I saw parts of the human body hanging from the wall as the building caught them and took half. It was terrible. We were living in a little taller building at the 4th story. As the earthquake started, the building at the bottom didn't move much, but at the top was doing this. And it was throwing us from one wall to the other wall. My mom started to cry, scream, and pray, Lord, if I die, please forgive all my sins so I'll be saved. My dad said, what talk is that? He started to sing. He sat down, literally. People were screaming, running down the stairs, crowds pushing each other. My dad sat down on the couch and he started. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And he was smiling. And my mom says, how could you sing? And he says, honey, if God wants me to live, I live even if the whole building dies. 10,000 may fall and 1,000, you remember? But if God wants me to die, what's the point to run? I'm going to run down and the brick is going to fall on my head. And it happened to many people. And it's going to kill me. So my dad said, honey, we are in God's hands. In that moment, somebody knocked in the door. Mr. Goya, open the door! When? During the earthquake? Somebody? So he goes, our next door neighbor comes with her husband. Can we come in? He says, I don't get it. Everybody is running down outside the building and you want to enter in my apartment during the earthquake? And she says, we know that heaven is here. She says, we neighbors fight, scream, you always sing. It's always peace here. We know that God's angels, we know that God lives here. We know that he's safe. Can we come in? My father smiled, come in. And she said, sit down, I don't have enough chairs, but you can sit on the floor. The two of them sat down, and he said, join us in song. She said, what song? Rock of Ages. I don't know the song. She was a communist person. She didn't believe in God. He said, I'm going to tell you the words. He said to my sister, go to the piano and play Rock of Ages. My piano was moving, my sister was playing. And he said, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Everybody, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in the. Let me hide. And the earthquake stopped. And he says, now let's have a prayer. And now you can go back to your house. Heaven needs to be in you and in your home if you want to see heaven when Jesus comes. Do you follow me? Thy will be done. Oh, how much problem we have there. We think we want God's will, but we badly want our will. In fact, we are the master and God is the slave, the servant. We tell God what to do. We tell him how to do it. We tell him when to do it, like he doesn't know. And if he doesn't do it the way we want, in the time we want, we get depressed and lose our faith. We face the smallest challenge and we get depressed. What if you are Job and you lost all the kids, all the job, all the family, all the houses, everything? You don't even lose your house before you get depressed. We don't even look for a job, I don't know how long, 3 months, and we get depressed. God didn't answer my prayer. I've been looking for a job for the last 3 months. You follow me? We want God to do it the way we want, in the time we want. And we say, may your will be done. Really? If you mean it and you want his will to happen, first, you don't ask him to do your will to begin with. It's like Balaam, I want to do your will, but can I go? No, if you go, you die. Don't go. Yes, Lord, if I go, I will obey you. Really, if you want to obey me, why do you go? That's nonsense. Lord, I love you and I will obey you. Can I go? No, you cannot go. If you want to obey me, don't go. Lord, let me go and then I will obey you. No, you will not obey me as you don't obey me now. Because if you obey me, you don't go. Do you follow? That's what we do. Lord, may your will be done, but can you do this? If you want to do God's will, before you ask it, before you ask whatever you ask, ask if it is his will. Lord, I would like to ask you to help me get a job. But before I ask you to help me get a job, tell me, what do you want me to get? Oh, Pastor, you cannot pray that way. Why not? Doesn't it say in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit has to intercede for us because we don't know how to pray? And in fact, in Greek, does not say so. It says we don't know, quote, what to ask. Literally. You can do the translation word by word. It says the Holy Spirit has to make intercession because we don't know what to ask. We ask the wrong things. We are very limited. We have horse vision. You follow me? Therefore, Ellen White says that the Holy Spirit has to change our prayers because we really ask the wrong things and we honestly think that we ask the right things. Therefore, when you go into God's presence, don't hurry to pray for that person's healing. Yes, I know you desire that person to be healed. God loves that person more than you do. God wants them to be healed. But sometimes God says, no, it's better for you if you are not healed. Because you have in mind this, and I have in mind that. And for your eternity, and for your salvation, and for your character development, and for saving somebody else, is better if you are not healed. So stop asking. And instead of you asking the Lord to be healed, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I would like to be healed. And I am asking you if you want, please heal me. However, Lord. So you can ask, it's okay. But then you say, however, Lord, I give you permission to do the way you want, not the way I ask. Do you follow me? And if you choose differently, I don't understand, I suffer, but I ask you to give me comfort and strength and faith and joy so I can suffer singing. Do you follow me? There were martyrs who were burned, and they burned and died singing. Do you remember? Help me have peace. Help me suffer having faith and joy and sing and still trust in you. Even if you don't answer the prayer the way I want. Because I want your will, Lord, because you know better than me and you love me better than I love myself. Sometimes I damage myself, but you want to save me. Therefore, I give you permission to do your will. So what we do, actually, we use the formula, may your will be done. Not meaning it, but we use it just like a formula. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, may your will be done, amen. Do you follow me? You should not pray it as a duty, as a routine, as a formula, as a slogan. You should mean it with all your heart. Lord, this is what I want. However, please do your will. I give you permission. Don't do my will. If it's wrong, change it. If you want to kill me, kill me. Do whatever you want because I trust you. I don't trust myself. Do you understand? More than that, how could you say, may your will be done if you don't know his will? Go and seek his will. I don't like, no offense, I don't like American football. I just don't understand the game. It's boring for me. And it's violent. I like European football, soccer. That's a game that I can watch and I can play. So when American football is on the TV, I don't watch it. When European soccer is on TV and Argentina is playing with Spain, Real Madrid, then I watch. Then you talk a real game. I'm all into the TV. Goal! Yes, go, 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 go. You follow me? And my wife comes and she talks to me. Honey, can you please go and do this and do that? Goal! And she says, are you listening to me? Huh? Because I had no clue what she said. Because my mind is there, not there. Do you follow me? That's how we pray. We have no clue what Jesus says. We sometimes have no clue what we say. We pray and read and sometimes don't remember what we read 5 seconds ago. Do you follow me? Therefore, when you go into God's presence, you need to first realize who you are talking with. You are before the God of the universe. And you need to be careful. You need to be respectful. You follow me? And then you need to seek his will. Lord, what is your will? It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have or the thoughts I have for you. But that doesn't refer, 1 second, I will get to you, doesn't refer to the plan of salvation. It's plural. I know the plans, not the plan. The plans I have for you, and it refers to God's daily agenda. Ellen White says that Jesus every day would wake up early in the morning, go in a secluded place, and pray, and now listen carefully, for 2 reasons. He would seek God's presence. He would fill himself with God's presence. And number 2, he would seek God's plans for that very day, God's agenda. Basically, he would say, Lord, this is my agenda. This is my list. I'm going to go to the vet. I'm going to write on my paper. Please help me. But I surrender my plans for today. I do have needs. I do have to finish fixing the roof. But I surrender my plans to your plans. Help me understand your agenda and help me put your plans first before my plans. Because if you put God first, God will bless you. Trust me. It is better to let God take care of you than you take care of you. He will do a better job. You will make a mess if you take care of you. But if he takes care of you, he will do a better job. It's better that you serve him and let him serve you. Do you follow me? And so, Lord, I surrender my plans to your plans. Help me understand what you have for me. Here I am. Send me. Use me. Make me a blessing. We drive, we walk, and we are blind. We are so focused on our plans, on our problems, that we don't see people, we don't hear people, we don't care, though we say we care. Therefore, say, open my eyes, that I see people, I hear people, I care. Make me a blessing for those people that need me today. If you pray that way every morning, and you seek his will, and you seek his plan, he will answer it. Ask the question, then I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Both.
So what's the, I guess, can you tell me what the difference between praise and thanksgiving is?
You start focusing on God and praise him for who he is, and then you switch focusing on your situation, what he has done for you, and you thank him for his interventions in your life. You do both. Because the more specific you are, the more it helps you realize that you can trust in him. Anyway, so both. And I do have quotations that refer to both. They are quite a long list to go through them. It's a good question. It's both. Yes, no problem. This is a good crowd, guys. You do ask questions. It doesn't happen. Honestly, it doesn't happen to me. I mean, it happened one time in Argentina. It happened about one time in Poland, but never in America. They do ask me questions if I have a session of questions and answers after the sermon, but they never ask me, though I say, please stop me before you forget. Anyway, let's go back. So, I was in Delavan, Wisconsin. It was a small church. 40 people, about 20 coming to church. You know the story, don't you? And all elderly. Average age, 70 or 80. The youngest, 60. I'm exaggerating a little so you get the picture. I don't know their age, but it was all elderly. It was a church ready to be buried. But good people. I mean that. Good, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. It's just that nothing was happening. Nothing going on. Song, prayer, sermon, song, prayer, home. Next Sabbath, again. You follow me? Nothing going on. And I told them, it will never change before you seek God's plan for you and for your church. Pastor, we have tried evangelism. We have tried Bible studies. It just doesn't work. I said, I don't care what you have tried. You have tried what you think that you should try. Whatever you think may not match the needs of the town. You need to seek God's will because God knows what works for these people, specifically for this location, and what works for you. You cannot do whatever. You cannot do agriculture if you are a computer guy. And you cannot do computers if you are an agriculture guy. You need to seek what God wants you to do, and then it's going to work. Don't do what you think that is right and ask for a blessing. Do what he says, because if you obey him, you will be blessed. And they said, but they still did it, what they do, as people do. But this lady, that she's a good lady, but she talks a lot. If she would get you, she would grab you by hand, and you don't go home soon, trust me. This lady came to me and said, so you tell me that in prayer, instead of talking a lot, I also need to ask and to seek and to listen. I said, yep, you heard me. And I said to her, remember, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God wants to communicate with his people. He talked to Abraham, he talked to Moses, he talked to Daniel, he talked to Joseph, he talked to Paul, Old and New Testament, he talked to people. Why would he not talk to you and me? God never changes. Well, she said, Moses was a saint. No, Moses was a criminal. Well, David was a saint. No, David was adulterous. You follow me? Abraham was a saint. No, he was a liar. She's my sister. And he had no faith. He married his slave. Instead of trusting, no, they are human beings like you and me. But because they kept seeking God's plan, God answered to them. Because they were people of prayer, because Bible people are praying people. Because they are people of prayer, the more they listened, the more they recognized God's voice and they sensed when God was talking. I told you, didn't I, about my wife when I drive home? I did or I didn't? When I drive home, I drive between two mountains, and between those two mountains, I lose signal. My wife knows that I eat all the time. I eat all the time. I can wake up at 2 a.m. and I'm still hungry and I eat, and then I go back to sleep and I eat at 5 a.m. and I eat at 10 and I eat at 12 and I eat at 2 o'clock every 3 hours and I'm still hungry and I never gain a pound. Not fair. Deal with it. And so my wife knows that if I don't eat, I start shaking. I went to the doctor. I have no diabetes now. It's just my metabolism is fast. It burns everything in no time. And so my wife calls me and says, honey, go and get a sandwich. Okay, honey, I'm busy. Now drop everything, go get a sub, and then go back to work. Okay. She calls me 2 hours later. Honey, did you get a sandwich 2 hours ago? Yeah. It's time for you to eat again. Okay. Love you, love you. She calls me at 10. She calls me at 12. She calls me at 2 o'clock. She calls me at 4. Go get a sandwich. Honey, I got 2 sandwiches. I have one with me. I'm going to eat that one. Okay, love you. Bye, bye. Then I drive home. I get between two mountains. I lose signal. And she calls. Brrrt, and I hear, honey, sandwich, love you. How do I know that is my wife? Well, I tell you how I know. I know the voice and I know the message. You heard me? Why do I know the voice and the message? Because we talk all the time. Now, how could you know God's voice and message if you don't talk with him all the time? If you want to recognize his voice, keep talking with him. And you learn to distinguish his voice among 1,000 voices. Do you follow me? When I was a kid and my dad came with his nice motorcycle home, could have been 1,000 cars and motorcycles on the street. I knew that he came because I knew the sound of the engine. He had an old bike that was like tup, 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 like a German bike, you know? And I knew when that sound came, I said, Daddy's coming home. Because I heard it every day. If you keep talking to God, you will learn his voice. God says, my sheep hear my voice. God says, he who has ears to hear. Do you follow me? Now be careful. There is danger. Satan doesn't run when you go to church. Satan doesn't care when you get involved in evangelism. Do it, but still, Satan, you can go to church and be a stinker. That's not. But Satan cares when you pray that way. Because when you start seeking God and his plan, God is going to change you and change others through you. And then Satan, when you pray, the spirit of prophecy says that he runs. And then he's going to attack you because he wants you to get discouraged and stop praying real prayer. Because that's going to change you and others. And so, when you pray that way, you will have you'll have trials. But the more you pray, the more miracles you see in your life. Because when you seek God's will, you'll start seeing God's hand. And so let me say something here. Because Satan doesn't want you to pray that way, Satan makes people go into two extremes. One, people are so afraid to hear another voice instead of God's voice that they never listen. They pray quick and go. Amen. They never listen. They don't even give God a chance to talk. That's one extreme. Oh, you don't need to listen. You just keep the commandments. Yes, you should keep the commandments, but you also need to seek God's plan for you for every day. The other extreme, they take any voice as God's voice. Do you follow me? You need to check the voices with the Bible. Simple and fair. You follow me? Ellen White says, Desire of Ages, when every voice is hushed, the quietness of our soul makes possible to hear the voice of God. He says, be still and know that I am God. Let me repeat, by memory, word by word. This is the quotation. You can Google it and you'll find it. When every voice is hushed, when we keep quiet, the quietness of our soul makes possible to hear the voice of God. How many times we talk, say amen and go, instead of seeking God's plan? He may not answer that moment. He may answer today and he may not talk for 3 months, because God doesn't talk for the sake of talk as we do. God talks when he has something to say. And he'll not talk. You cannot tell him when to talk. He is the master. He talks whenever he wants. But you keep listening. Because when he talks, if you don't listen, you don't hear. You keep listening. You say, Lord, show me your plan for today. You say the same tomorrow, the same tomorrow, the same tomorrow. When the time comes, he will let you know. And so back to the lady. She came to me and she says, do you want me to keep listening in prayer? I said, yes. In fact, there is a Bible verse in Ecclesiastes that says, don't, when you go before the Lord, don't bring the sacrifice of the fools. Comma, many words. Have you known that there is a Bible verse that says that actually? Go and Google it. Go on the Google and say, don't bring the sacrifice of the fools. And it's going to give you the Bible verse. You open your Bible, it's there. Don't bring the sacrifice of the fools, comma, many words. I can give you the Bible verse. I have all of them on the list. I'll be glad to give it to you. Chapter 5. Thank you. And so, don't bring the sacrifice of the fools many words. You don't need to say many words. He knows. Ellen White says God doesn't need to be informed. Don't you think that what he says is more important than what you say? Therefore, the Bible talks about meditation all over, but Satan has pushed people into two extremes. Either never reflect, never think, pray and go, or go into oriental meditation. Focus. Empty your brain. That's spiritualism. That's wrong. The Bible says that day and night I meditate upon your word. Every time in the Bible, literally every 100%, every time the Bible uses the word meditation, it gives you the object of your meditation. Amen. Listen, oriental religions tells you to meditate on nothing. Empty your brain and focus and say, oh, repeat the same words. The Bible says don't repeat the same words. Like pagans do. Do you follow me? Don't repeat the same words. The Bible doesn't say empty your brain. I cannot do that. Until I will die, my brain keeps going. I don't know how to do that, honestly. When it says in oriental religions, empty your brain, the Bible says fill your brain and your body with Christ and His word. Amen. Do you see the difference? They say, fix your eyes on nothing. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on His word. So when you meditate, the real meditation that is biblical and it is all over Spirit of Prophecy, I have 4 pages of paragraphs from the Spirit of Prophecy that say about meditation. She talks about it, but she says we should meditate on Christ, His sacrifice, the last week of His life. We should meditate on His word. We should meditate on His law. She gives you the object of your meditation. You reflect not on nothing. You reflect on Christ. You put your eyes on Christ. You put your eyes on His word. So, folks, when you pray and listen, you don't empty your brain. You pray and study. You pray. Don't do only prayer. Don't do only reading. They go together. You pray and study. Don't study a lot. I'm going to read 10 chapters today because you don't remember a thing you read. You just did your duty. If you read the Bible and you don't let God talk to you, stop reading the Bible. It's of no benefit to you. This is what Jesus told the Pharisees in chapter 5 in John. You study the scriptures because you think you get eternal life. But they testify of me. Basically, he says, if you don't seek me, if you don't find me in your prayer, in your reading, in your going to church, stop doing it. It's no benefit to you. Do you follow me? So, basically, when you pray, then study a little, and then stop reading. Take 1 or 2 Bible verses and reflect on it. Pray over it. Lord, I cannot understand what I read because it was inspired by the Spirit. So I need the Spirit to understand what the Spirit meant. So give me the Spirit and open my mind. And then read it again. And then pray again. And then read it again. And then pray again. And then read it again. I read 15, 20 times a short paragraph, like 2 Bible verses. 15, 20 times. And pray and read. You know what happens? This is crazy. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. You don't have to be smart. If you read a Bible verse 15 times, what happens? You memorize it. It doesn't make a difference in 1, 2, 3 days. But after 1 year, if you memorize 1 Bible or 2 Bible verses, I'm done. I will finish right now. If you memorize 2 Bible verses a day in 1 year, you have 700 Bible verses. In 5 years, you know how much you have? This is what happens. Every time you go through trials, you go through temptation, you go through challenges, God is going to remind you a Bible verse that would help you through the very crisis. When you need to talk, God is going to remind you through a Bible verse exactly how to answer. But if you didn't store it in, there is no way for you to recall it out. The Holy Spirit cannot remind you what you didn't put in. That's the reason He says, I store thy word into my heart that I may not sin against you. You need to store it in for God to get it out to protect you. You follow me? So that's how I study and listen. I pray a little, I read a little, I pray a little, I read a little. And many times God talks to me through my very study. Do you follow me? And after that, I pray and I read and think, reflect. And pray and read and think and ask questions. What if I was there? If I was Noah and I started to build an ark and they said to me, you are crazy. What is that? There has never been rain. What would I do? If I was his family, if I was his church, what would I think? Ask questions, because the more you ask, it helps you to understand them, to understand what happened, to understand God, to understand you. How would you react? It makes it real, not only duty, but it makes it relevant. And the more you pray and read and think and pray and read and think, the Bible verses that you memorized yesterday and last week are going to come and connect to this Bible verse. Aha! That Bible verse talks about this and that one. And they are going to connect in your head and it's going to be light. Do you follow me? When people talk to me, all these memorized Bible verses come together and I give them the answers. Because I memorize a Bible verse. My mom taught me a Bible verse every day since I was 2. By the time I was 5, I knew whole chapters, including chapter Psalm 119 by memory. Many, not one or two, many, many chapters from the Bible by memory. When I went to school, I got straight A's and I didn't learn. I never learned. I never. Not in school, not in college. I don't learn. When the teacher teaches, I go home, I scan over the book. I don't read it. I just open the page, open the page. It takes me about half an hour to read 50 pages, 100 pages. And I know the book by memory. I went to psychology exam in the seminary, Dr. Swanson. We had a book like a dictionary. My classmates learned for 2 months. The night before, I scanned the book and I got an A. My wife said, you don't know it. I said, open the book. Whatever you want. Read the first line and I'm going to continue. She opened the book and I told her what it says on the page. Because when you keep memorizing, it trains. God gave you a brilliant brain. It trains your memory. It keeps growing. It's a blessing, folks. Memorize the Bible. Its power in God's word is like a sword. You want victory over the sin? Memorize the Bible. Don't just read and you get nothing. Get something. Do you follow me? Let's stop. I need to eat. Let's stop. We continue. We didn't finish. I want to give you the story with the lady. Powerful. I'm going to continue tomorrow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this may seem like something new, but it has been in the Bible forever. Lord, people in the Old Testament memorized everything. Help us store your word in our hearts, in our minds. Help us seek your will. Help us know you and walk with you and depend on you as Jesus depended on you. He said, I don't say my words. I don't do my own works. I do what the Father tells me to do. Help us learn to walk with you, to depend on you, to seek your plan every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This may be a little difficult for you, but tomorrow we will make it even more clear, okay? Don't think that I am teaching Japanese, okay? We will clarify it tomorrow. We will make it English.